All right, tonight I thought last time that would be the last in our series. We've been dealing with in a series for some weeks on the valleys, and week before last, I thought that would be the last one of the series, but we're going to do one more, and probably this will be the last. We've been dealing with some things in the Scripture about the valleys of life. The problems sometimes that come to us, and when we first started this back some weeks ago, I think first one was about the 1st of September. We've had some things go on Wednesday night that we didn't always have the regular service, but for these 8 or 10 weeks, we have been dealing with the Scripture that deals with certain valleys and certain things that come our way. One of the first messages was the Valley of Baca, which is the Valley of Tears, and a place that all of us encounter that comes our way, and the tears of life that come. And then the second time we met, we dealt with the subject of why valleys. Why do we have valleys? Why are there trials, and why is there tribulations that come to the child of God? There are purposes and reasons for that. Everything that happens in our life happens by a purpose of God. We're not here just by chance. We're not here just by circumstance, but I believe we're here by an appointment of the Lord. God has given us an opportunity that we can do different things and serve Him. And so we talked about different valleys. We've dealt with different men, different subjects on this particular subject. We had the valley of conflict and persecution, chastisement, the valley of discouragement that comes to everyone, the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of the faithful, and so just a lot of different things that we've went over. And tonight I want us to look at one more. One of the most important reasons that God gives us valleys, I believe, is to get our eyes upon the right things and headed toward the right direction, that our vision not be blurred in our particular walk with the Lord and very many issues that come our way. From the mountaintop, you can see the high places. You can see the majesty, you can see the beauty of all the things that are up above. But when you get in the valley, there you find the reality of life. There in the valley, you find where God can keep our perspective right and keep our purpose right, where that we can serve Him better. The Bible tells us, and don't turn there, but this is the verse that we will just use a portion of it tonight. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "The burden of the valley of vision." The valley of vision. And so tonight, I want us to get some perspective of what kind of vision that we should have, and what God does for us, and how God helps us. It is certainly many times there are hard places. Many things bring us face to face with reality and difficulties, and we've looked at all these different things these weeks. Mountains have several meanings in the Bible. Mountains sometimes are good, and mountains sometimes are a struggle to get up. And so God gives us many different ways of looking at mountains. And there on the top of the mountain, we have a clear vision of things around us. But sometimes that vision gets blurred. Sometimes those ways of life become a burden upon us, and we just do not see things as we should. I think one of the best examples of that is found in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. And so if you would turn there, we'll be reading about the church of Laodicea. And I believe certainly they had a blurred vision of what was their purpose in life and the purpose that God had for them. In Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith Amen, the faithful, the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God." Now we know that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that there were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, we're not going to look at these verses individually tonight and do a message on the church of Laodicea, but I wanted to use that church sort of as a point in focus our attention upon. Here's a church that has a wrong vision of what has taken place and what should be done. They're neither cold nor hot. The Lord says they're lukewarm. He says, "I wish you were one or the other." He said, "But because you're not," He said, "I will spew you out of my mouth because of that lukewarmness." And the Lord tells them that they need to repent. And so there's a vision that has been blurred in their personal ministry and personal work with the Lord. And if we're not careful, when the good times come, when they come, sometimes our vision can become blurred in what we see. When the good times come, all of a sudden we depend upon us instead of depending upon the Lord. When everything's running well and running smoothly, when everything is doing like it ought to be, then we tend to forget that it is God that has brought us to where we are. It is God that has given us the victory. It is the Lord that has given us the blessings. And sometimes when we're full of all the blessings of the Lord, then we forget where God has for us to go. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, and verse 10 says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for all the good land which he hath given thee." See, blessings that are taken rightfully are just simply blessings. But the very next verse there in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold multiply, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." So the Lord warns the people of Israel, make sure they keep their eyes upon Him, to make sure that when the blessings come, that they receive them as blessings, and that it's not be something that will get them off track and something that will destroy them. We're not to be removed from the Lord's blessings. We're not to be taken from that. The Bible says, "Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord?" Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. And so we need to realize that God has blessed us for a purpose. God has blessed us with reason. And we are to keep our eyes upon the Lord. Our vision should be a vision that is right with God. Our vision should be one that is of life, that is right with the Lord. Life is not all a shout. It's not all a good things. It's not all joy. But life is real, and sometimes real life gets us down in the trenches where we have to do battle. And the army sometimes will parade in front of the stands, and they'll be in form and formation. But that's not really the army that does the battle. The army that does the battle is in the trenches. And we have to get down there sometimes. And so we need to keep our vision of life right and to realize that God has a purpose for every one of us. I think it's very important that we all understand that God has a purpose. We're not here just to be passing through. We're not here just to take up space and breathe God's air and eat His food. We're here for a purpose, and the Bible tells us that He has that for us. The book of Job, chapter 12, verse 9 says, "Who knoweth not all these, that the hand of the Lord has wrought this?" The hand of the Lord. Job said God's hand was in his affairs. And of course, we've used Job many times in this series. Job is a prime example of many valleys of life, but he's also a prime example of keeping his eyes focused, keeping his vision right, and telling the world that he was going to keep right with the Lord no matter what. And he says, "Who knoweth not all these things that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, and whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" I'm glad tonight that I can truthfully say and honestly give to anyone who we talk to that God holds our life and God has a purpose for our life. God has a reason behind everything that takes place. And I really don't think there's circumstances or coincidences. I really think there are things that come our way that God leads us in certain directions and God leads us certain ways. And then we realize that God has had His hand in our affairs and in our life. And by the way, that's the way He brings us to Himself. That's the way He brings us to the Lord, that He uses those things to show us the way and the truth and the life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 says, "To everything there is a season." Everything. And so if you put anything you want to there, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he goes on and says, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. I believe in our birth. I believe in our life. I believe in our death. God has a time to work in our heart. And he says there's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up that which is planted. And so what Solomon is trying to get across to everybody that reads his words here is that God's hand is in the affairs of everything that takes place in the life of an individual. From the time of birth to the time of death and the time of his life, then God has a purpose and God has a plan. And so we need to realize that God has a purpose. Not only that, we need to know, secondly, that life is hard. Not, life is not all easy and fun, and our vision has to be upon those things or we will get off track and we will realize that or we'll come to the conclusion that's what's the use. But life is hard, and there's difficulties of life. Genesis chapter 47 and verse number 9, Jacob said to Pharaoh, now here's Jacob talking to the king, to the Pharaoh, he said, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Some people just live in a make-believe world, but we find that life sometimes deals out some hard issues and some hard things, but we keep, as a child of God, as a believer, we keep our eyes and our mind upon the things of God and to realize that, yes, man is born of woman. He that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble, Job said. Job also said that we are born a few days. Then later on, he says, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. As the grinding wheel sharpens the axe and the sparks fly up, Job said, that's the way man's life is, full of trouble and full of problems that come our way. Solomon said, I hated life because of the work that it wrought under the sun was grievous to me. So sometimes life is difficult. And we better keep our vision right. We better keep our vision upon Him to know that those things still come our way under the hand of God, under the purpose of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 2:23 says, "For all his days are sorrows, and his trivial grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night." And then he said, this is vanity. And so we realize that God has a purpose. Life is difficult. Life is hard. But we better understand that life is temporary. We better understand that it's temporal. I guess the best verse on that that we would come up with in our, at least our thinking of the Word of God, the Bible says, James says, what is your life? It's just even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Life is temporary. Now, I know we're all living like we're going to live forever, but we're not going to live that long. We make plans like we're going to go on and on and on, but life doesn't go on for us. We're not going to be here very long. God knows how long. We don't know how long. And so, therefore, we better keep our vision clear and our vision right and to realize that God has a purpose. Life is hard. Life is short. But thank God eternity with Christ is certainly very, very sweet. And so we need to see that these valleys that come our way gives us a vision of God. It gives us a vision of us. It gives us some understanding of what's taking place in our life. It gives us an understanding that not everything is easy. And so if we think all of it's just an easy road, we're going to be discouraged and disgusted. And so we need to understand that the vision that God gives us is of Him. And then secondly, the vision that God gives us is a vision of ourselves. We must look at ourselves. We must see us as who we are. Every one of us, when we get in a valley, we will react. There's a action react, or there's a reaction to every action. And when it comes to life, I'm here to tell you that when problems come, we'll react to that. When difficulties and pressures come to us, and the valleys of life come our way, we are going to react. Now, some people react strangely. Some people react hopelessly. But there is a reaction. And there is where we must have our vision focused on ourselves, on our God, to realize that our reaction can be based upon the Word of the Lord, that we can follow Him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, through verse number 10, he says, "And our hope of you is steadfast." Paul told the Corinthian people, said, "Whatever comes your way," he said, I'm sure and steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble that came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and even despaired of life." Here's the Apostle Paul. I used this verse in one of the other lessons on these valleys. But Paul says here that he said, "I don't want you Corinthians to not understand that, yes, there's valleys for me also." He said there was a time when there, as they came to Asia, he said, "We were pressed out of measure." That just simply means he said the pressure was upon us and really didn't feel like he could take any more pressure and any more problems. But he said, "We were pressed out of measure. It was above our strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul said, "We had a lot of problems, had a lot of difficulties, and these things come to us." He says, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God." You see, when that kind of pressure comes to the believer, we better learn that we cannot handle that valley. We cannot handle that problem. And so Paul says we had the sentence of death in our body, in our flesh. And so we found that we should not trust ourselves, but we had to trust in God. And I'll tell you, that'll take care of the problems. That'll take care of the ways of life. When we learn to have a vision of ourselves, our vision of God, and Paul says he delivered us. Thank God for the delivery that comes from the Lord. He delivered, Paul said. Not only did he deliver, but he says he also doth deliver. He's continuing to deliver. And then he says, "In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." And so the salvation that Paul was talking about was a physical salvation. He was in trouble. He was in despair. Pressure was upon him. He said, "But we trusted in God, and he delivered us then. He's delivering us now, and he's going to deliver us in the future." You and I tonight, we have that same promise. We have that same hope physically that God will, God continues to, and God will do it yet in the future. But I'm glad, thank God, when it comes down to salvation, He delivered me. He is continuing to deliver me. And one day He's going to deliver me to the very presence of the throne room of God. A great vision of God, vision of ourselves and what God has done for us. This valley of vision. Psalms 23 verse 4, we use this in one of the lessons. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Here, David the psalmist says, I'm going through the valley, not of death, but the shadow of death. The shadow is the shadow on the ground is something that's real. But when it comes down to the child of God and death, it's just a passing through battle that we go through, and there's struggles that are there. And so we must have a vision, and we must know how that we're going to react. How will you react if there's a problem comes in your life? What kind of vision will you have when problems occur in your life? How are we going to react to that? It should be according to the Word of God. It should be according to the faith that we have in the Lord. Not only are we going to react, but there's a way that we're going to behave. We behave certain ways. Our behavior sometimes is not as it should be. And so how are we going to behave in the valley? How are we going to do? Here in the book of Acts chapter 20, Paul is talking about that they witnessed in every city, and the bonds of affliction came to him. He said, but none of these things moved me. That was how he behaved. He behaved properly and in order as God had given him the things of his life. And the valleys came to him, to himself. And problems came. And he said, none of these things moved me. And then he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. And of course we know the last words of the Apostle Paul was he said, I am now ready to be offered, for I have finished. Here he is wanting to finish. Here he was in the beginning of his ministry. Later on in Timothy, he tells Timothy, he said, I'm ready to go. I have finished my course. So we need to have understanding, a vision of life, a vision of God and ourselves working and serving God. And thirdly, we need to have a vision of others out there in this world. Not everybody has had the same opportunity that I have had. I understand that. And we must all understand and have a vision of souls. The Bible says, and we could have used this verse of Scripture for another subject or another lesson on the valleys. The Bible talks about multitudes, you know where they are? In the valley of decision. There comes a time in the lives of people as they hear the Word of God, as they hear the messages of the Lord, there comes a time that decision has to be made. We either accept by faith the Word of God, or we reject it. And so we need to realize that our vision needs to be focused upon people that are in that valley of decision. Those souls that are there. We understand, we know what time it is. We're living according to the Word of God. We're living in the last days. I don't think anybody would argue that point. We're living at what we call the midnight hour. We're living at the time when the days of our life are numbered and the coming of the Lord is at hand. We believe that. We believe the Scripture teaches that. We live in a day that is characterized by so many different problems. We live in a sinful society. And we better realize that those folks, that multitude, they are in that valley of decision. And these last days of this sinful society, we need to understand that they just like what the Lord told them they would be. He tells us in the book of Matthew that men in the days of the coming of the Lord will be like they were in the days of Noah. And in the days of Lot, what was the days of Noah? They were eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage. And they didn't even know anything was happening until It was too late. What was the day of Lot? The day of Lot was a day of perversion. It was a day of great sin. It was a day of sodomy. It was a day of that terrible sin that God brought judgment upon those cities. And it was a sinful society. And they're in that valley of decision. And our eyes, our vision, should be focused on people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we send people around the world to preach the gospel. Because we believe that the Scripture teaches us that no man can come to the Father except they first hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if anybody's going to have faith, they've got to hear the Bible. Paul says, how can they preach except they be sent? And so missionaries go around the world preaching the gospel. Churches send them out and send them to a sinful world. Send them to places that do not want them there. But yet we're under commission of the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every nation, to every people. And the Lord sort of brings a wide scope of who we are to go to, just to go to everyone. Our vision better be upon the souls of men. Not just upon the Savior, not just upon ourselves, but needs to be on the souls of men to realize that they're lost. I think we need to also realize that there are churches that are worldly, and like the Laodicean church, their vision has been blurred. They have gone the wrong direction, and they have taken the wrong way, and Jesus said, you're neither hot nor cold. Now we must remember, this church of Laodicea is still considered the Lord's church. That is a bad place. It wasn't a good place. But it was still the angel of the Lord, which is the messenger of the Lord, came to the Laodicean people and said, here's what you need to do. And you notice here he said, you need to repent. He says, be zealous therefore and repent. If a person repents, that means they have opportunity and they have a vision that they need to come to the Lord. And so we need to realize that the world is, society is sinful. We need to realize that some churches are very, very sensual and they don't want to follow the direction of God. We need to realize that the populace of the world is really unconcerned. They don't care. They have no idea. They don't care about what's taking place. And they don't understand. But that does not relieve us of our duty to tell them that Jesus saves. It does not relinquish our commission that God has given us, that we're to tell them that Jesus loves them. Though that populace that is unconcerned, they don't have anything about God. They don't want anything about God. They don't see anything about God. They won't accept anything about God until the grace of God breaks upon their heart. And that can only happen if somebody's faithful to the Lord and has a vision of the world around them and will tell them that Jesus loves them. There's an enemy out there that fights us. There's an enemy out there that destroys us. We find battles on every front. Our society is not like it was 20 years ago. Very different. People think differently than they did back in the 50s and 60s. We must realize that some people, even though they live in America, they've never had a clear presentation of salvation. America is just as big a mission field as anywhere in the world. America needs God. American people needs the Lord. They need the Word of God, the Lord of the Word. And so we find that there's the enemy everywhere, and the battle is on every front. Every doctrine of faith is being tried, and every essential to salvation is questioned. The Word of God is questioned. Repentance is questioned. The blood of Christ is belittled, and salvation by grace through faith alone is almost thing of the past. That Jesus is the only way is something that only narrow-minded people talk about. Sure, there's a lot of other ways to heaven, they say. No, there's only one way, and that's through Christ. And so our vision cannot be blurred toward these things. Our vision cannot be blurred to what life is all about, and what ourself is all about and what the world is coming to and the problems that before us. And sometimes if we're not careful, our vision will be blurred and we'll get discouraged. We'll have all the things around us that is there to hurt us and to harm us and discourage us. But thank God He is able to deliver. He is able to give victory. We read in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, that 3,000 people were saved. Not only were they saved, they were baptized. And we find that they were continuing in the faith, according to the book of Acts. And so here are 3,000 that heard the gospel, 3,000 got saved, 3,000 got baptized and added to the church, and a little bit later you find that they're all continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and faith. But we've gone from that to this day in which we live, where we rejoice if we get one in 3,000. We think it's good if we get a two or three. Something is wrong. And so we have to realize that we must keep our eyes upon the Lord. Our eyes must be kept upon Jesus Christ. We must realize and come to the realization and this vision that we have that they are perishing without God and without hope. It makes us realize that we don't have a year. We don't have 10 years. But the Bible says, we say there's 4 months, and then cometh harvest. But Jesus said, I say to you, the harvest is already white. It's ready. And if it is not harvested, if it is not coming, He said, lift up your eyes. He told His disciples as they were with Him, He told them, said, lift up your eyes. The fields are white. The harvest is ready. But then He says, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would thrust them into the field of the Lord. The soul winner's job and task has never been easy, and it's not any easier today than it was in days gone by, to be a faithful witness of the Lord. If we're going to be faithful, we have to realize the masses out there are perishing. And we have the truth. We have the Word of God. We have what will help them. We have the only thing that will save them, and that's the message of Christ. Then we need to realize we must have a vision of compassion. Compassion, the best definition that I've ever read, is compassion is that I feel your heart in my heart. Knowing where you are, I feel it. I know it in my heart. And the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion when He saw the multitudes as having no shepherd. They had no one to lead them. And the Scripture said He was moved with compassion. And when Jesus was moved, that means He did something and made a difference in their life. The work of the soul winner, the work of the child of God, is one that is diligently, the Bible says, Psalm 126, He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with Him. As we go, as we tell, as we witness, as we preach, as we do all the ministries that God gives each of us to do, He has promised us that His power will go with us, and the power to tell people about Christ will bring about a harvest in these days in which we live. Jeremiah is a prime example of God's servant. You read in Jeremiah chapter 20, you'll find that he was confused. He wasn't sure what God was doing in his life. You'll find that the people mocked him. He became very discouraged. But Jeremiah realized that he had the call of God upon him and that he was glad. And we need to realize whatever God gives us to do, it's not just by happening. It's not just by chance. God puts our minds and puts our lives, puts our steps in the lives of other people. And it's not just coincidence. So Sometimes we must realize that God orders our steps, that God purposes in our life. This is what He has for us. And in doing that, you and I tonight, as a believer, we need to have a clear vision. Not be in a valley that's not serving, in the valley that our vision is blurred, but in a clear vision of the Lord, a clear vision of ourselves, and a clear vision of the world. May God help us tonight to not get in that valley that will blur our vision, but get in the valley of vision that we can see. Too many times we have lost the battle because we didn't look and see what was before us. Too many times we have not accomplished what God would have for us to do because we just could not see it that way. Our vision has been blurred. And if it stays that way, then I'm afraid we will end up like the church of Laodicea, lukewarm, neither cold, neither hot. And the Lord said, I'll just spew you out of my mouth. I think it's interesting when you read of Laodicea. He said, you say that you're rich. You say that you're increased with goods. You say that you have need of nothing. That's a blurred vision. A clear vision of them, Jesus said, you don't know that you're wretched. You don't know that you're miserable. You don't understand that you're blind. You don't understand that you're naked. And then He says, I counsel thee. Thank God tonight for the counsel of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, through His Word. And the key to the Laodicean church and the victory that they have is found in verse 19. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's the only thing Jesus told this church to do. Just repent. Understand, I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to chasten you. And the only thing left to do is repent. And when a person does that, well, I'm glad, thank God, our vision gets cleared up. Things become well. And we're back on target, in line with the Lord, serving Him. And so I pray the Lord to help us as we honor Him with our lives, that our vision would be pure and clear upon Him, upon us, and upon the world, to see it as it is, and preach the gospel to men as they are lost, as it is pure, the Word of God. Let's stand together tonight.